Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
I'm Lisa Davis. Andrea is not here today. Now, I've been lifting weights for years, and I've seen huge improvements in my health and my stamina and in my muscle tone. So I'm so excited to have Lou Schuler on the program. Transform Yourself into the Badass You Were Meant to Be Strong is his book. 9 workout programs for women to burn fat, boost metabolism, and build strength for life. It is also with Alan Cosgrove. Lou, I have to say, what a great title. Welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Well, thanks, Lisa. It's great to be here, and I'm glad you like the book.
I really do. You know, in part one, what works, what doesn't, and why we're still confused. Okay, I want to know, Lou, and our audience, what works, what doesn't, and what are we confused about?
Well, what we still seem to be confused about is we get into these obscure food fights, and we get into these obscure battles over, is this better than this? And you know what? Everything's good in some level of moderation, depending on your goals. So we write books about strength training, and what we've emphasized since the very beginning of the series is the object of strength training, the object of being in the gym and lifting things, is to get stronger. If you're not getting stronger, then you may as well be doing, you're doing a different type of exercise. So first off, that's what we emphasize, is strength. And the second thing we emphasize is we've all been told, those of us who can remember back when nobody exercised and they had to be convinced to do anything at all. So what we've seen over the years is this: we've gone from this idea that if you, for health, you have to do cardiovascular exercise, you have to do long, steady state aerobic type workouts, which are great, no question about that. But there was this disparagement of strength training. The idea is that it's just for bodybuilding, or it's just, you know, for showing off, or it's just a guy thing. And what we now know is that strength, physical strength, muscular strength, is associated with a longer life, less disability, lower body fat. There's even an article in today's New York Times that talks about women who have more muscle in their thighs actually have better cognitive skill. They have more active brains. So, you know, so now we've tied strength training to everything that used to be attributed to, almost everything has been, it used to be attributed to aerobic exercise. But we have to get back to the first principle, which is to get these benefits, you actually have to get stronger. You have to build some muscle.
Yes, you do. And that's why I love your book so much, Strong, because you actually have 9 different workouts in the book. And I think for people, and you even have a little section, a little paragraph about if you're a beginner and you're like, okay, I don't even know where to start, this can really help you. Because I remember in high school, it's kind of funny, I used to go to the gym. I think I would work out for like 10 minutes and then I would just like sit around and talk to people. Like I wasn't really working out. And it wasn't until I got older that I got more serious. And then even older, when you start noticing the fat and certain, you're like, what the heck? Where did this come from? You know, like, okay, so even on my arms, Lou. So, okay, picture, I'm very honest on the show. Okay, so I'm making a muscle. I've got a really nice bicep. I've got a nice tricep. But then, like, right above my elbow where the arm bends, there's this, like, this ball of fat. And it seems like no matter what I do, it's still there. So I don't know if it's an age thing, a metabolism thing, but you know, you see those people who are so chiseled, and I have to think a lot of it is what they're eating, right? Talk to us about this.
A lot of it is their genetics. You know, this is the thing that, this is the other big problem since the very beginning of, you know, really since people first began talking about exercise. You can go back, you know, 100 or more years, and you find that somebody who looks a certain way is able to promote themselves as being more virtuous than people who look a different way. And in a lot of cases, these are genuinely people who really worked out hard and all that. But you've got to start with a certain genetic traits before you're going to get this classic look that we all want. For the rest of us, we can certainly look better, we can get stronger, we can build more muscle, we can burn more fat, but what the final product looks like is going to be different from one person to the next. So you talk about a spot of fat in one particular area, there is absolutely no workout that's going to remove that. So where the fat accumulates and where you burn it off when you're exercising and dieting, that is largely determined by genetics. And everybody who tells you otherwise is trying to sell you something you don't need.
I'm so glad you said that, Luke, because I think part of it is sort of accepting where you are. And my thing now, when I work out and I lift weights a few times a week, I'm saying to myself, I just want to be strong and healthy. You know, I might not be as cut as the gal, you know, down the street or something who runs 10 times a day and, you know, who does all the other things. And I also have, I was hit by a bread truck in 93 on my bike, and I sustained some long lasting tissue damage and injuries and things that I have, you know, there's a lot of people listening who probably have to make modifications. So I'm not going to have that ideal, you know, with quotes body, but I'm going to be as strong as I can. And I think that needs to be the message, so we're not all beating ourselves up to look perfect, right?
Well, and I think you're one of the few people other than the people who are genuinely gluten intolerant who can make a good argument for why bread's bad for you, because, you know, it comes in trucks. So trucks hit people. That's bad.
Well, you know what's even funnier, Lou? On the side of the truck, it said sour. I saw it coming from, it was kind of far away, and it said sourdough bread. And in my mind, I thought, I hate sourdough bread. Boom! And I got...
There you go. Right there you go. The driver, yeah. The driver was a mind reader. But what is good for us is going to be probably a little bit different from person to person. And what that good thing does for us is probably going to be a little bit different from person to person. So one of the keys that we talk about, Alan Cosgrove and I talk about in Strong, is you've got to walk into the gym when you begin a program with the idea that whatever you accomplish is a new record for you. Doesn't make any difference what you could do 10 years ago. Doesn't make any difference what you could even do 6 weeks ago. New program, new results, everything you do, look at it as an accomplishment. And don't beat yourself up over what you used to be able to do, or what other people, the person working out next to you, or what your cousin can do, or what, the women in the office, whatever it is. Look at it as everything you do is an accomplishment. And I think with that idea, you may be amazed at what you're able to do.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, one thing that I've been doing lately is foam rolling. Oh, my gosh, that hurts like heck. I get the tightest IT bands. And like, I did an hour hike this morning with my dogs, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, my IT bands. I know I should get on that foam roller, but it just hurts. But then it hurts more if you don't. Talk to us about why foam rolling is important, especially if you're, you know, really when you're lifting weights, right? Because you can get tight. I'm not going to say you're going to get tight. I get tight, but I don't know if everybody does.
Well, sure, we all do. And I had the exact same experience as you. The first time I got onto a foam roller was, I actually remember, it was like, I think it was like April of 2003, and I was editing a book, and it had foam rolling in it, and I'd never seen it before, wasn't familiar with it, and the first time I did it, my legs were just screaming. With me, it was my quads. And when I've done it, I find that I get fewer muscle knots, but I have to confess, we don't actually know why foam rolling works, and we actually don't even really know why stretching works, because neither thing permanently changes your physiology. Stretching doesn't make your muscles longer. It doesn't make them less tight. And this idea that, you know, that foam rolling breaks up knots in your muscles, it's actually not true. But consistently, coaches do this with their athletes. People who do it say they feel better, even if it's uncomfortable at the time. Hopefully it gets more comfortable as time goes on. But we actually don't know why it works. We're just pretty sure that it does something that you can't get if you don't foam roll. So there's, and I'm sorry, that's not a very powerful argument, but it's the best I can do.
I can't believe we're just about out of time. I'm just going to say again, this book is great. Strong, transform yourself into the badass you were meant to be. 9 workout programs for women to burn fat, boost metabolism, and build strength for life. Get this book, because if you're confused and you're not sure where to begin, it's got workouts that tells you what to do. It has great pictures. It shows weights. It shows body weight exercise. It's got suspension stuff. It's fabulous. Lou, tell us all the ways we can find you and your wonderful work.
Easiest way to find me is at my website, Lou Schuler, LOUSCHULER.com. We have a website, thenewrulesoflifting.com. You can pick up the book anywhere.
Terrific. Lou, thank you so much for being on. It's been fabulous. Everyone, lift some weights and stay well.